talking in Sunday school about how not to take these things for granted, and it just was a good reminder to me as a Sunday school teacher not to take it granted that we're in the house of the Lord together. It wasn't too long ago that we weren't, so I'm grateful that we are. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3:10. I'm going to start there, and then maybe I'll read the other verse later. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians 3:10. Sunday school kiddos, we're turning to the New Testament, back of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 3:10. We'll just read this one verse together. I see pages flapping, I see fingers tapping. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." All right, I want to read this wrong, this last phrase, and I want you to tell me. Is it on? Are we good? Okay. Are we good, stream-wise? Okay, we're good. All right. I'm going to read this last part of this wrong, and I want you to tell me what I said wrong. I'm going to start with the word "but" after the period there. "But let every man take heed with what he buildeth thereupon." What did I say wrong? "But let every man take heed with what he buildeth thereupon." It doesn't say that we have to take heed with what. It says take heed how we build thereupon. So that's what I want to talk about real quickly this morning. You may be seated. We're going to start with my little object. Instead of an object lesson, we're going to do an object game today. We're going to talk about taking care, taking heed, being aware of and being careful how we build. So here on my desk here, I'm going to dump out a bunch of coins. And these we'll save for later. So all of these coins are some gold tokens that I have. I have plenty up here. And any of my kids who would like to play a challenge game, come on down and sit on these front pews here. Addison, I'm picking you right away. Come on up. You've been up here since the beginning. You're raring to go. Everybody else who wants to play, come on and have a seat. And we're going to give everybody a shot, but we're going to do three at a time. An opportunity. We're going to give you an opportunity, not a shot. All right. Okay, everybody have a seat on the front pews over there except for Addison. I'm going to put this down to kid level. There we go. And Azalea, she can help. All right, the game is going to be that each of you, I'm going to pick three of you at a time, you are going to have to take one of these coins and pick it up with the tweezers and place it on another one to see how many you can get in 1 minute, in a stack. Now, it has to be a neat stack. They can't be like all over the place, and you can only use your one hand and one tweezer. So do you think this is going to be easy or hard? Some easy, some hard. All right. I played this with some adults, and some of us were better than others. Not going to say who was good at this or not, but we'll see how it goes. All right. So, Addison, you're going to be right here with these tweezers right here. Who else wants to play? All of you up there want to play? All right, David, you come on this side. And Sierra, you come on this side right here. I'm going to go grab my phone because we need a timer. Excuse me. We need a 1 minute timer to see how many you can get in 1 minute. Now, everybody here has the same amount, the same kind of coins that we're using. Everyone has their tweezers? Do you know what to do? Do you know the instructions? All right, here we go. On your mark, one-handed. Has to be a neat stack. Somehow you're going to have to pick those up and put them in a stack. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go. 1 minute, let's see how they do. All right, David's got one. He's got one on a stack. Sierra's got one. Addison's got one. They're doing great. All right. Look how careful they're. Look how quiet they're being. Careful and quiet. They're at 40 seconds. All right, David just made a choice. One dropped. He's leaving it. He's going for next one. It's on the stack. All right. Sierra's being very careful. Addison's going over there. Make sure your stacks are nice and pretty stacks. Oh, he dropped one, and he's picking it up with the tweezers. He did not break the rules. Good job. All right, we're down to 17 seconds. Let's see who's going to have the highest stack. Let's see. They are following the rules, taking heed how they are building the stack. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, timer. All right, clap. Good job, you guys. All right. David, how many do you have? Count your stack, guys. Be ready. Let's see. Once you have your number, let me know.
Seven
in a stack. Nice. What do you got? Nine in a stack. Nice. Eight in a stack. Nice. All right. Now I have a trick question for all the adults. Who won? How did they all win? I said, take heed how ye build. Did they all follow my instructions? Did they all do it how they were supposed to do? They all won. It wasn't about who got the most. They all followed the instructions. All right, good job. Good job. All right, you guys sit down. Let's get another three, and I'm going to change the game. Game changer. All right, Soph, come on up. And Maya and Kaylee, come on up. All right, now we're going to change the game. Those guys all had the same coins, but you guys are going to get different coins. Oh, no, Sister Lisa, what are you doing? All right, now we have gold coins. Sophie, you're going to go for the gold coins. And Kaylee, you're going to go for the nickels. And Maya, you're going to go for the dimes. All right. Yep, so you're going for these, you're going for those, you're going for gold, okay? When I say go, you're going to go, same thing. The directions are build them in a stack. Only use the hand with your tweezer in it and build them in a nice stack. Are you ready? Are you nervous? Are you scared? All right, give them some encouragement when they go. 3, 2, 1, go. Take heed how you build. Good job, good job. Mai's got one on already. Sophie's grabbing him. Good job, Soph. She's getting her next one. Kaylee's working it. She's working it. Look at her. She's got a stack going already. Wow. Good job, good job. This is not easy, you guys. All right, right to the edge without dropping them. Maya's being very careful. Now, nickels and gold coins and dimes, they're all different sizes. They have different values. Let's see how they're doing. We've got 20 seconds to go. 20 seconds. Do you think the bigger coin will be easier to put in a stack than the little dime? What do you guys think? No. Or do you think it's like the very same? It doesn't matter the size of the coin. What do you think? Doesn't matter the size of the coin? You think it matters? All right, well, we'll have to ask these girls. We got 1 second. Done. Done. All right, count your coins. See what you got. So why would the size of the coin matter, you think? Surface area, easier to grab it. All right. All right, how many do you have? How many do you have? 9. All right, how many do you have? 7. All right, how many? And 5. All right, good job. All right, put them down, you guys. Put them down. They all follow the instructions. They take heed how they build. That's right. Now, do you guys think it was fair for me to have one of them going for this big coin like this and one going with this tiny little coin and having to build with that? You think it was fair? You think it was an unfair thing I did to you? We're going to talk about that in a minute. All right, did anybody not get a chance to go? Who wants to go? Who did not get to play? Xander wants to play? All right, come on up. Who's going to play with Xander? All right, let's see. Zalia wants to play. Maya, can you help Zalia play? And did you go already? Oh, you just went too. Addison, you come back up and play with your sister. All right, everybody go for whatever coin you want. Whatever coin you want, but only one kind of coin. Are you ready? Oh, Sam, you didn't get a chance to go. You want to go? Oh, that would be okay. That would be okay. All right. Can I have Sammy try this one since he didn't get a chance to go? Thank you, Addison. Now, there is a winner right there. There is a winner. All right, Sammy, come on this side. All right, Soph, have a seat. Have a seat, Soph. All right, here we go. On your mark, get set, go. All right. You got 1 minute. Very carefully. Now, do you think it's easier to be the one helping somebody else put these coins on or to be doing it by yourself? I think you're right. It would be hard to help somebody do this. Do you think when you have to help somebody take heed how they build, it takes sacrifice on your part? It takes effort on your part? You have to give of yourself to try to make a pile here? I think it does. And that's one of the things we're learning in Take Heed How We Build, is that we are helping others to build the same pattern, the same way. They're doing good, you guys. We got some good stacks going over here. We got 10 seconds left. 10 seconds left for a stack. And not a single one of them. Oh, no, we got two who are picking the same coins, going for gold coins. And time is up. All right, let's see how you did. Let's see how you did. Count your coins. See how you did. You got four. Good job, buddy. Fist bump. Nice job. Good job. You got six. Good job, girl. You got seven. Good job. Good job. Thank you, guys. All right. You stay right up here sitting in these seats for me while I finish this up. Go sit in the front seats. Go sit in the front seats. All right. So the object lesson I want to talk about here is take heed how we build. It wasn't about how many in this stack they got. It was, did they follow the directions? And they all followed the direction. That's a win. Also, it didn't matter what kind of coin they built with. Like, I gave some a gold coin. I gave another a nickel that was only worth five. I gave some a dime that was worth 10. This gold coin is worth nothing. It's an old-fashioned one, a coin that used to put in to vacuum your car out that doesn't even work anymore. It used to be worth a vacuum. It's not even worth a vacuum anymore. But yet, it's a really cool gold coin. You might want it. But was I valuing these based on the money that they were worth or the size they were or the color they were? These were just different materials that I gave them to build with, and they each followed the how-to plan, how they were supposed to build with whatever I gave them. So we as Christians, we've been learning in Sunday school about parables. We learn to do a natural thing to learn a spiritual thing. So these natural coins in this natural game gives us a spiritual idea that it doesn't matter what talents the Lord has given us, what coins he's given you to build with. He's given you your own special set of coins. You just have to follow his plan on how to build with that. It's the same plan for everybody and how to build their life according to how the Lord wants it built, the best that's going to be the best for us. And we can use whatever he has given us, and we can build the tower just like he asked us to. And then in Sunday school, we were talking about the parable of the lost coin, learning the natural to spiritual for that. And in that parable, the lady had been given 10 coins on a band by her husband, as was tradition when they got married, and she had lost one of the coins. Sister Carol did a really cool kids talk on that once, not too long ago, about that. And she had lost one of her coins, and she was so stressed out about that coin. Now, that coin was a drachma. It's like 18 cents. It was not valuable in its monetary value. It was valuable because her husband had given her that set of 10. And that set of 10 in society meant if she had a full set, that her husband was pleased with her and loved her and had given this as a gift. And she could go to the store. That was like her credit card. The store owners would look at it and be like, oh, she's got 10. Her husband's going to pay her bill. She can buy whatever she wants. But if she had done something displeasing, her husband might have yanked one of those coins off and been like, you're not going to the store today. No shopping for you. So for her to lose one of those coins was like, oh my goodness, everybody in town is going to see that I've lost one of those coins. Or, oh my goodness, my husband's going to see that I did not take care with this special gift that he has given me, that I was careless with this treasure. So these kids up here, when they were building the tower, they were not careless with these. They were very careful. They were using these little tiny tweezers to do it. They were very careful with building according to the how-to plan. And when one got lost, we picked it back up. There's nothing on the ground. And with the tweezers, we picked it back up. That's right. We were very careful. But I told the kids as we were studying the natural to spiritual, have we lost one of our special coins that the Lord has given us? Or if we forgot what a treasure it is, oh, they're only drachmas in a set of 10. They're only 18 cents a piece, not a big deal. It's only this gold coin that I can't even get a vacuum with anymore. Or is it a special treasure that the Lord has given us? We don't want to be careless with the things he's given us because we've gotten so used to it. We don't want to be careless in our worship service. Oh, it's just another service where we got to clap our hands and raise our hands. We'll have another one on Wednesday. Or we don't want to be so careless with the fact that, yes, we can come into the house of the Lord and worship together. Or we don't want to be so careless, oh, it's another altar call. I have to go to the front to talk to the Lord to kind of say, here I am, Lord. Ugh. We want to be like, no, it's a special treasure. It's a gift that he gave me. I want every gift he's going to give me, and I'm going to treasure it and keep it special. And the most special thing that he's given us, of course, is his love, that he loves us no matter what, no matter where we are in our how-to plan of building, that he's right there and he's loving us. So the kids have so graciously agreed to help me sing and to show you guys the sign language to Jesus Loves Me. So will you sing along with us? Why don't we all stand and we'll focus on this as one of our treasures, that Jesus loves me. Come on up, guys. As we do this again, think about the words of this song. They're real.
My subject today is If Ye Have Love, and it's an ire side chat, and I remind you that ire means there's an irritation involved. I rate very highly, and I'm irate often, but sometimes there are things that we ought to know and don't. One of the most common things that my students, most of whom have been ministers for a long time, say to me is, I've never seen that before. And my answer is, that's been in the Bible for a long time. You know, so there's a reason why we miss things. Our text, now if you want to stand, I can remain seated. I feel the spinal cord stimulator working overtime. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Help us, Lord, because we tend to overlook the obvious, and we need you to help us not overlook the obvious. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I appreciate you giving that respect to God's word. If ye have love one to another. You know, it's a fact that people outside of your immediate circle, they don't know what your feelings are. They don't know if you got the warm fuzzy or the hot fiery. They don't know if it's bland or spicy. So how are they going to know that you love your brethren? They can't look inside your gourd and find that somebody reamed it out, took all the seeds. So the Lord said, by this shall all men know. Not if ye love one another. You see it? Do you see it? It's if you have love one to another. And that stood out to me. Have love, yes. This verb, have, includes the idea of a firm grasp that one might have on a prized possession. That's what that verb, have, means. You've got a good grip on it. You are protecting that prized protection, that prized possession. You are determined to keep hold on that prized possession. That's what the verb to have means in this verse. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a firm grip on your brethren. That's not a governing grip. It's a protective grip. It's a preservative grip. It's a determination. You know, it's a fact that the people that hurt you most are the ones you love the most. I don't expect a serpent to come coil up on my lap and say, oh, I'm so glad to be here. You know, I expect him to bite me if he can. And he better expect me to kill it if I can. And if I've got a lawnmower, he's in trouble. I have run over a number of snakes with lawnmowers. When I lived in Texas, I made money mowing lawns. And I generally, three or four times a year, killed a rattlesnake. Yay! You know. And I've killed a few snakes around the house in East Long Meadow with a lawnmower. But I have no desire to love those critters, but my friends, I want to protect them. I want to take care of them. I want to be aggressive in my defense of them. If my friend hurts me, that's a deep wound. I remember the scripture in prophecy that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus' life. The prophet said it was my own friend that betrayed me. And when Judas came, the Lord Jesus said, friend, whence comest thou? Judas was one of them he chose, and who'd followed him, lo, those 3.5 years. He did some stupids, and he infected his fellows with his stupids sometimes. But nevertheless, I want you to know for sure that when Jesus went to the cross, he did it for Judas too. But the wound from a friend is hardest to bear sometimes, but it's almost always for your good. So keep that in mind when you read that. Have love. To have means you got a firm grasp on love. You have a strong desire to protect it, and you're determined that you are going to love. You there? I'm not done yet, so it doesn't matter whether you're there or not. I'm surprised at how often I have to remind myself that love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. You know what? It's not possible to command your own feelings. And if I tell you to love asparagus, it never happened. I would never, ever tell you to love asparagus or broccoli or cauliflower or Brussels sprouts. All those things that are good for feeding to food. See? But I can't command you to have a particular feeling. But the Lord commanded us to love. So love is not the unruly feeling. You know, it has been said, and I believe with some accuracy, depending on definitions, that on one side of the coin is love and the other side is hate. That they are two sides of the same coin. I don't think so. I think the opposite of love is indifference. Okay. But I define love as the willingness. It's an act of the will. It's not an emotion. It's an act of the will. Jesus said, love your enemies. How many of you are really happy about that idea? Love your enemies. It was a command. I can love my friends on occasion. But love my enemies, it was a command. So it isn't talking about have a great warm fuzzy feeling of affection. It's talking about an act of the will, an act, a willful act. And in my definition, it's the willingness to sacrifice whatever is necessary in order to provide for what the loved one needs. Parents, once upon a time, seemed to be dominated by the idea of being willing to go without new shoes, so baby got new shoes. Dad would wear his for 10 years. Baby would wear his for 3 months. You know. And babies weren't that much cheaper than dad's because dad bought cheap ones. So baby could have them every 3 months, you know. That was a sacrifice. There are lots of things that parents don't buy for themselves or do for themselves because they are taking care of a child or children. You know. That's a willingness to sacrifice whatever is necessary in order to provide the needs of the object of that love. How many of you understand that? Okay. Love will not be set aside in order to grasp some other treasure. Have love. Get a grasp on it. Hold tight onto it. Don't let it slip out of your grip. And don't set it aside to grasp something else. Because nothing else. Everybody say nothing. No. Nothing else is as important to those of us who are in the body of Christ as love. That's what we're told in 1 Corinthians 13:13, isn't it? And now, abideth. What does that word abideth mean? Continually remain. These are things that are going to last whatever crises come, whatever tragedies befall. Three things are going to remain: faith, hope, charity. These three. What else is going to remain? Those three. That's it. But the greatest of these is charity. It's not in the slide, so bear with me. The word greatest does not mean priority. It means magnitude. One man asked the Lord, "What is the first commandment of all?" Another man, tempting the Lord, asked, "What is the great commandment in the law?" The answer was different. The first commandment was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength. And the second is like, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But the one that asked, "What's the great commandment?" "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." That's the great commandment. That's the one with the magnitude. The purpose of the first is to make the great possible. Now, which is most important? Foundation first. You're not going to ever build the house with the ceiling of love, with the roof of love, if you don't have a good foundation. So in our Christian evangelism, what's most important? It depends on where the person's life is. If they already know who the Lord Jesus Christ really is, if they've already got that foundation, something else is important. The greatest is love, because that's the goal, that's the destination. Are you there? Okay. Faith. Faith is your personal, intimate knowledge of the person, identity, and plan of God that enables you to discern what He intends to do so that you can act in harmony with Him. Faith active, or believing God, is doing what you know He wants done. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So as important as faith is, if that's all you got, you're lost. You can know God and not glorify Him as God. You can read in Romans 1 what happens to them. So why is charity the greatest of these three things that abide? Why? Because charity, love, is the fulfillment of God's purpose. In all honesty, if it weren't for me knowing how this ends, I would think creating was a waste of time, a waste of energy, unproductive. But I know how it ends. And I think it was worth all that He did, the way it's going to end. Okay, the fulfillment of God's plan in your life is worth it. And that's what makes love the greatest. Listen, 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "Now the end of the commandment," this doesn't mean the termination, it means the purpose. You know, you read in James 5, "You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord." That's not talking about God's termination. That's not how He dies. It's His purpose. "Now the end of the commandment," the purpose of the commandment. the fulfillment of the commandment, and it does end the need for the commandment. But the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Faith, hope, charity. My conscience is eagerly anticipating what God is going to do next. I'm looking for the sound of a trumpet. I'm hearing for a sound of a trumpet. I'm looking for the Lord's return, his appearing the second time. See, those are abiding. And I'm anticipating his coming with joy because I'm not afraid of the judgment. My conscience is clear. You got it? That's the goal. That's the purpose. Praise the Lord. And if you turn aside from that unto vain jangling, you're doomed. You desire to be a teacher of the law, but you understand neither what you say nor what you're affirming. 2 Corinthians 6:1. I'm almost done. I'll make it. Give or take a few rollover minutes. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Is that possible? To receive the grace of God, God's willingness to reveal himself to you? Is it possible to receive that in vain or to no end, no productive purpose at all? Yes, it is. You're told not to do it. Don't do that. Desiring to be teachers, you fail. So we beg you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Why? For he saith. What does saith mean? That he said it? That he says it. Over and over and over and over he says this. He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yeah. Giving no offense in anything, he said in verse 3, that the ministry be not blamed. What does that mean? He's not talking to the ministers. He's talking to you. You don't behave badly, because who's going to get blamed? Christianity will get blamed. The Lord will get blamed. The preachers will get blamed. Christianity doesn't work. Just look at the people. Hello? Yeah. But in all things, patting yourself on the back and bragging about yourself to yourself. No, that is not what approving ourselves as the servants, as the ministers. This isn't talking about credentials. This is talking about the service we provide to others, the ministry we give. So we demonstrate that we're approved as servants, servers of God in much. How many of you found it's not easy to tolerate patience? This is called an ireside chat. Okay, that tells you about my patience level. I run out quick. That may be why I have so much tribulation, because tribulation worketh patience. Thanks a lot. In afflictions, in necessities, that means being in need. In distresses, in stripes, that's beatings. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. I got a grip on it. Love. The willingness to sacrifice what needs to be sacrificed to provide the needs of the one I'm loving, or the ones I'm loving. Friends, it's easier. Enemies, it's not so easy. But get your grip on it. Be determined by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Nothing else is as important or valuable as love. Love is the greatest of the treasures that endure, that abide, and have a permanent place in your life. Love. We must not allow the wrongdoings of other people against us to move us or cause us to let loose of our grip on love for them. First Corinthians 13:1 said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have let loose of love, haven't got my grip on it, and I don't have charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. To put it in the vernacular, I'm just noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, who gives that gift? Yeah. And understand all mysteries, who gives understanding? Yeah. And all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and let it slip out of my hand. Didn't grip it tight enough. Didn't protect it. I am nothing. I'm not a prophet. I'm not wise. I'm nothing. I know the Lord doesn't really care for this term, but I'm a waste of space. It's one of my favorites. And though I bestow how many? 10%. 15, you got to count offerings. All my goods. To do what? Is feeding the poor a good thing to do? Well, it depends on why they're poor. If a man won't work, neither should he eat. Scripture said that. Okay. But we're talking about those who are really poor, not those that are poor on purpose or as a direct result of their own foolishness. But all though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that's not talking about walking through fire. That means being martyred by being burned to death. Even though you yield that, you can do that without having a grip on love. One of the things I'm telling you is it's easy to let it slip. You've got to have it. You've got to possess it. You've got to have your grip on it. You've got to be determined not to let it loose. Hello? If we become the people who are going to love in all circumstances, everybody will know, oh, you studied from him. And more than that, we'll become the children of our Father who lets it rain on the unrighteous as well as on the righteous. And he will consider us his children. What profits in all of the sacrifice if you've lost your grip on love? Charity, love, suffereth long, and is kind. That doesn't mean it suffers long, period. Charity is kind. Charity suffereth long and is kind. This is telling you how you know whether you're loving or not. Are you suffering? Are you still kind? If not, well, you've loosened your grip a little. Are you there? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity only fails under the extremest of circumstances. Only if you let go. Only if you loosen your grip. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I didn't have any clue that I was doing this as a child. I thought I was grown up. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Those are wonderful promises. It's going to happen if you don't lose your grip on love. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these, the goal of these, the purpose of these is love. Praise the Lord. I'm done. Get a grip on it. Get a grip on love. Amen. Sister JC, pray a dismissal for us, please.